Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It is a beautiful day over here, that's for sure.
Plants are growing. Grass is growing. Corn is...
That grass is just not going to stop growing.
No, it's fantastic.
The grass was mowed yesterday, so now I can just look at it and think it looks nice instead of going, oh, no, time to mow again.
Nuh-uh.
It seems like every two or three days it grows so much.
When my daughter was born
to take care of it.
In June of 2010, that was every day was 99 degrees with 99% humidity. My yard was tan, and it's just so refreshing here. The last three summers, everything has been very green. Everything is not burned out. It's normal. And Marty, all we need is normalcy. That's it.
Right.
We don't need extremes. We just want to be normal.
Right. And speaking of green, that's the color, one of the colors for 4-H. And so the colors are green and white, and we'll be celebrating 4-H for this coming week with our Monroe County Fair.
That's right. Everything kicks off Friday night with the Queen Contest, and then everything else gets rolling on Saturday. Fair runs Saturday through Saturday. Were you a 4-H'er growing up, Marty?
I sure was. You know, you don't have to live on a farm to be a member of the 4-H.
I got nervous driving by farms when I was a kid.
We had a wonderful 4-H leader as I was growing up, and we were all very involved in 4-H. And I remember how excited we were when getting our projects ready to take out to the fairgrounds and to have judges decide what color ribbon you got and so forth. And let me tell you what, it is a great program because we hear so much today about the youth who are out there getting in trouble and causing trouble for themselves, really, for the rest of their life many times. And these kids are staying very, very busy doing what they need to be doing to be successful in life. And that's part of what that 4-H motto is and has been since 1927, which is to make the best better.
Well,
and that's something many people are not, if you didn't grow up in the 4-H community, you might not understand how important it is. And it is, by the way, supported, Monroe County Fair supported with local tax dollars. There's a small tax rate on your taxes to pay for this is a small amount to help pay for the fair, as well as we have one entire department, the Monroe County Extension Department, which is also supported by Purdue University. And so that's also local tax dollars that we pay into the extension, and part of the extension services has to do with working at the fair, working with all of our 4-H clubs.
Well, I'm peripherally involved with the fair because I have several students who are 4-H young ladies who are doing sewing programs, and I have judged in 4-H before, so I'm a little familiar. I will tell you, though, for someone who basically grew up in a little suburban neighborhood and then went off to basically live in more urban areas, I am not super familiar with what 4-H does and how that all works, or the extension office. And so it seems like every year when the fair comes around, I learn a little bit more. But I'll bet there's a lot of people, Marty, who just don't really know that much about it anymore. And I think that, you know, it might actually be helpful to those of us who are in that spot sometimes to you know, what I don't really understand the whole thing because I always thought that they maybe had classes and taught the kids how to do stuff, but that doesn't appear to be the way it works. It looks like they get them projects and then they go home and learn it on their own, essentially.
Well, and I can just say how we did it, and certainly I can remember when our first little sewing project was learning how to make aprons. Now I wonder how many kids today still make aprons.
Not too many.
That was a big deal for us to sit there at that sewing machine and learn how to make aprons. We didn't live out in the country, but a lot of my friends who did live out on farms, their big projects were other things.
Well, their project was living. they did that. That was normal operating procedure for them, wasn't it?
Right. Well, but the fun part was to come together and
see
what
show it
all
off.
Of your friends had accomplished as well on their project.
Now you just put it on Pinterest.
But
stick it up on Facebook.
But what the whole point in this is so that they can, the pledge is that they're going to use, it's four H's is your, has to do with your head, your heart, your hands, and your health. And all of it is to come together for their club and their community and their country and their world. So
it's more
than
just
whether or not you can put a puff sleeve.
Here, I will put the bow on this because Margaret's got one angle, you got one angle. I'm going to tie this all together. The fair, the Monroe County Fair, is not just about demolition derbies, elephant ears, tractor pulls. It's also
hot
about
dogs on sticks.
It's also about showing your crafts and your animals and everything else. And when you bring this all together, you get a week full of action. And
well,
it starts.
What
the fair
event.
Is supposed to be all about is about the 4-H, and that is why we have the fair is to be able to present all of this hard work that our young people have put together and their animals and so forth.
Well, and speaking of hard work, Marty, the Queens get things started, and then you've got a full week of events, and we hope the weather holds off and it is perfect out there. The county, what is their role? And I know it's the Monroe County Fair, but in county government, Marty, you fund it, you help them. Well, tell us how that process works since we have it kicking off this weekend. Marty Hawk is our guest this morning.
Right. Our extension office, of course, works very closely with what's going on at the fair. And so they're real busy right now working with all the 4-H leaders and so forth. And the pre-fair activities, of course, is going on right now and has been going on.
Oh, yeah, you got to get all those animals in there. You got to get everything set up ready to roll.
No chickens this year.
Lawrence County.
I
don't know if that's
Monroe County. They had changed that, but I'm not certain on that.
Okay, I saw something about no chickens. I just assumed it was Monroe County, but you're saying that's not Monroe County then.
The headline in today's paper says Lawrence
such a fibber.
Fair.
I'm such a fibber, sorry.
Again, you can find this at Monroe County Fair. Just Google that, you'll be fine.
But right now they're doing their entries on their today would be their entry in the open class exhibits with the children's division that's non-perishable. And then tomorrow, for all those people out there who are working with their swine, they're going to be entering their 4-H swine in the swine barn. But for people who are not involved really as much with 4-H, Queen's Day is Friday the 24th with the Queen's Contest, and then there'll be go-kart races. And then the opening day is Saturday. And
they got all kinds of stuff going on.
And much of it is free. So once you get in to the fairgrounds, there's many things for you to do with your family, and it's exciting for the kids to go and see the rabbits and see the swine and see the poultry and see the different animals. I think there's a lot of interest in that. And then, of course, the day for the baby contest, that's always
Jim Inman, a former champion.
So,
and you've got two stages of music going on, so it's a great, it's wholesome family fun. You can find more information at monroecountyfairgrounds.in. Just click on the Monroe County Fair tab on the left side of the page. It brings up the whole calendar of activities, so you can see daily, you can see which days are wristband days, you can see which days are all the events are going on. It's right there.
They do
right
rides and all kinds of stuff.
They do. They got it all going on. They got a bear show this year. Oh, that's free to the public. Look out, kids. They're going to get that bear that's walking around in Northwest Indiana. Did you see that, Marty?
I did not.
There's a bear up in Michigan City. It's knocking over trash cans. Now here's how they're going to get rid of their bear problem. And I'm going to read this verbatim to you because this made me laugh. Margaret and I did this story on Monday, but I just want you to hear this because I think it's funny. Indiana DNR may tranquilize bear that's becoming more brazen. Well, you know what they're going to do? A wild black bear that's been increasingly brazen while roaming far northern Indiana for more than a month may need to be tranquilized for authorities to capture the animal and return it to Michigan. You get the hell out of our state and go back to where you came from.
Not in my backyard.
No, that's exactly right. Hey, we don't have any black bears here, and we're not going to have any black bears here.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, when we get past that bear problem in Monroe County, what we're dealing with, our highway department is just really trying to play catch up and understand that we can't do any real solid fixes on some of the roads being damaged, having to do with all the construction work.
Right.
69, it would be, you know, not very wise.
Well, you would just be doing it over and over.
Try to pave something that's going to be tore up again,
and
you know,
over.
The following week.
That's sensible. Thank you.
But in the meantime, of course, people are still live there, and they still have to get out of there to go to work and so forth. And so our highway department has to be in there and trying to at least make it safe. But I know it's frustrating for all the people who live along there. And when this road work is finished, and we're hoping that we'll get as much help as possible out of the state to come in and help us do those repairs. And then, of course, we can't continue paving after they've closed the asphalt plants. So we're hoping for weather that will keep those asphalt plants open later in the fall, because we've lost so much good time this spring with having they get the roads ready so that we could do the repaving. Well, this storm damage, as we've gone along with trees coming down and washing things away, they're going to have to go back and redo some of the work they did just to get ready to do some of that paving. So I know it's hard, but I know the highway department is hoping that people will understand there's just so much they can do.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in every Wednesday. You can see that story about what's going on and how that works out on today's HT front page. That's up there and going. What else is making news we need to know about? We know summertime's quiet. You got anything going on?
Well, it may look quiet to the public, but what's really going on right now is all the departments are working hard trying to get their budgets ready. And
oh, we're getting into to
and
time
see
for
where
budgets.
We're going with that. But I will say something that needs to be on a radar screen is, you know, last year, well, it wasn't last year, but anyway, several months ago, we were talking about whether or not there would be an income tax throughout the county to be gathered up for public transportation for mass transit. And then that did not get off the ground at the state level, mostly because of the way the legislation was written. And I know that there's efforts being made now to rewrite that legislation to have something that might go through.
Are we talking for next session?
They're talking about for the next session.
Okay.
Now, you know, I mentioned this the other day, that there are many who are saying, well, we ought to use this income tax for dollars to help operate Central Dispatch, because in the last few months, the county, for one last year, the county has gone to the townships to say, hey, we need you to help pay for the operation Central Dispatch. And the townships have quite clearly stated they do not have the funds, and they have no way to gather the funds to operate the Central Dispatch. So it would seem to me, unless there's some feeling that, well, it's easy enough to raise that income tax for two different things, which I think there's only so many times you can go to people and say, we think you need to pay more income tax. People might have to decide what's more important to them, what's the most compelling need for this additional tax if it's to go into place. So those are things that will be discussed over the next few months, and we'll have to see where the community wants to be.
Well, and Marty, one of the things that's sitting like the big white elephant in the room is we don't know what's going to happen with these assessments of these big box stores. And there's going to have to be some serious looking on how we're spending our money and what we're doing with it if that the amount of assessed value in the county goes down because of that.
And that is something people will be looking at.
What do they rule on that, Marty? When is that going to be determined,
well, it's,
undetermined?
Well, right now we're waiting to see who all is going to... remember, you had something in the mail that said this is what your assessed value is for your property.
Right, came from the treasurer's
office.
Right,
and you only had, I think it's until the end of this month, before you could go in and and
challenge
say,
it.
I'm not happy with this. I think this must be an error. In other words, you can contest it. So once we find out who all has contested their assessed values, then we'll see what we're really looking at. If that time frame passes, then their opportunity to contest it, I believe, will be gone. And so they would have to wait until the following year to contest it. So once we see all that, then we'll see how many are really going to be going perhaps further than the county level. They'll contest it perhaps at the state level. It might very well go into further debate about it. If the property taxpayer should win their appeal, then that means all the other taxing units have to pay back the money to them if they have paid beyond the time that they should have paid for their total assessed value. So it could be a real mess. I think the state will have to do something to try to correct the kind of quagmire this is going to cause.
Yeah, it's going to cause not, and we're probably one of the communities that's not going to affect nearly as bad as some other ones across the state, because I mean, this has a potential of just, you know, really messing with some of these smaller counties and stuff to an extent that we just can't even comprehend.
Well, and obviously right now we have farmers out there with lives. You know, you might not think this is a farming county, but we have many
drive
farmers.
2 miles west of Walmart, tell me it's not.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. And these farmers have had their assessed values changed. Their taxes are going to go up dramatically. And
they're not going to be in business anymore.
They're unhappy, really unhappy. And I understand that some of them have been told there's nothing that can be done. Well, they need to just make certain they've taken every step that they need to take to try to correct it if they feel like it's wrong. And then if that doesn't help, we need to be contacting our state reps and say, you know, here's our problem. How can you help us? Because we can only do here locally the way we are instructed to do by the state.
Right, right.
So those are things I think will be hitting us.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't know what our assessed values are, then how are we going to know how to set our tax rates and levies?
Exactly.
We won't.
That's why we're delaying.
Well, now which end of the spectrum are you going to lean to? Not enough or too much? Well, that's an easy choice.
And budget hearings are coming up, what,
in September.
September.
But we're not going. But you have to advertise for your tax rates and levies quite a bit before then, but we wanted to wait until we saw what kind of input that we had from people about their assessed values and how many were going to contest it before we certified our values or used those numbers to be able to arrive at the tax rates and levies. Now, that's as I'm recalling, I know our county assessor had said she didn't want to go ahead and roll over those numbers as they normally would have done a little earlier, just until we found out what kind of numbers we might be working with there.
Gotcha.
It may sound boring, but it's a little complicated.
It's just a little
It is, and it's something that's, again, it's down the road just far enough. It's maybe not on everybody's radar, but we're glad that you keep it on yours so we can hear about this every Wednesday morning. Marty, enjoy the 4-H, enjoy the 4-H fair, enjoy the Demolition Derby and everything else in between, and we'll get caught up with you in the middle of Fair Week next week on Wednesday.
Great. Thank you.